If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd invite you to turn to Psalms chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We've been continuing through a series of messages on the scripture. And last week we considered how to study the Word of God. And one very important aspect of that is not just to read it in a casual way, but to study it more in depth. But another very important aspect of realizing the benefits of the Scriptures in your life is to not just read and study the Scriptures, but to meditate upon them. You'll notice this is a characteristic of the man who's living in a godly way. He's not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not standing in the way of sinners. He's not sitting in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, his joy, is to perpetually read the Word of God, and not just read it, but to meditate upon it, to ponder upon it, day and night. And you also notice the end result of this man. He shall be strong and stable, like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, and very fruitful in abundance in the kingdom. He shall bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I believe that every child of God desires to be that strong and stable tree that's planted by the rivers of the water, bringing forth fruit to the glory of God, and anything that we do in our life will be blessed by God and have prosperity on it. But notice the end result is not just an abstract event that happens to occur. That is the end result of a formula of someone who's living in a godly way, walking, standing, and sitting in the manner that he should, but his delight, his joy is in the Word of God, and he is meditating upon it perpetually. The word meditate from the shorter Oxford English Dictionary means to reflect upon, to study, to ponder, to observe with intentness, and to revolve in the mind. And also, I like this point that was made under the definition for meditation, where it said serious, sustained reflection or mental contemplation. So again, not just a frivolous reading, not just studying upon it and going and examining all the different aspects of the context and other things that we considered in that prior message, but serious, sustained reflection and mental contemplation, to revolve in the mind. A good word to summarize this thought is that we need to ruminate upon the Scriptures. The word ruminate from the shorter Oxford English Dictionary means to revolve, to turn over and over in the mind, to meditate deeply upon, to chew or turn over in the mouth again, as to chew the cud. So first of all, this definition tells us to revolve the Scripture in our mind. When something is revolving, it's not constantly in the same position. In other words, we're not literally reading the Bible 24/7. It is not constantly the only thing that is ever on our mind. However, something that is revolving shows back up at consistent, repetitive intervals. You see it for a period, it goes away, but then you view it again. And then you have a period where you are separated from that, and then it revolves and it appears again before you. So you see this multiple, consistent, and repetitive intervals when something is revolving, that it is being considered and it's being examined. And we need to have that revolution, so to say, that revolving nature of the Scriptures in our mind, not just to read it, but that the Scriptures are consistently being examined and re-examined in a revolving manner in our mind. Also, it says to turn over and over again in the mind. Think about a small child that the first time they've been exposed to something, first time that they've picked up a new object or a toy, that child is going to look at it. He's going to look at it from every angle. Look at it from the top, flip it over, look at it at the bottom. And chances are, the inquisitive mind that most children have, they're not just going to look at it one time. They're going to look at the front, look at the back, and then continue to repeat the process. They're examining it over and over from different angles and for different perspectives. And that's what we're doing, is we're meditating upon the Scriptures. We're looking at it on a consistent basis from a different angle and from a different perspective as we revolve it in our mind. And then finally, that definition of ruminating pointed us toward the chewing of the cud. And this refers to the way in which cows digest their food. Now, I don't present this to be gross in any way, but cows essentially chew their food at least twice. They bring the food in their mouth mouth and it's not fully digested when they first swallow it, when it goes into the first section of their stomach. Cows have four different sections of their stomach and a very detailed process that they go through for food to be digested properly. So it goes into this first compartment of the stomach and it is softened by certain acids that are added to it in that compartment. And then the rumen muscles of the cow's stomach, that's very closely associated with where you get the word ruminate, the rumen muscles send the food back to the mouth of the cow for it to be chewed further before it is swallowed the second time and digested in three other parts of the cow's stomach. So you'll notice the first time it goes into their mouth, it's not fully digested, but it goes to an area where it's broken down to where the second time that it's in the cow's mouth, it is softer and closer to full digestion, but it needs to be chewed again so they can fully digest the food that they're trying to intake. And that's a very good picture of how we assess the Word of God. We read it and we might not fully understand it when we do it, but we chew on it for a little bit and we set it to the side. But then when it comes back the second time, hopefully it's going to be softened a little bit. We're going to have at least some understanding of it because of our prior consideration of it that we didn't before. And then if we hope to have proper digestion of the Word of God to fully understand it in the way that we should, we need to chew on it further. We need to chew the cud by meditating upon the scriptures. And this is what's presented us here in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, that this godly man, this blessed man, is meditating upon the scriptures day and night. He's revolving it in his mind constantly on a perpetual basis. This presentation of meditating upon the scriptures is consistently presented all throughout the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 97, he says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." There's actually seven verses in Psalm 119 that are speaking about the author's meditation upon the Word of God. And that chapter is essentially an exaltation of God's Word from so many different angles and avenues. And you'll notice that seven verses talk about the author's meditation upon the Word of God, and the number seven always is associated with completeness and perfection in the scriptures. It's our meditation all the day, day and night, as we constantly revolve it in our mind and chew the cud on the scriptures. But you'll notice for this godly man that is living in an upright way, forsaking the ungodly, close fellowship with the sinners and the scornful, he is not just reading the Word of God and meditating upon it day and night, but it is truly his delight. He loves the Word of God. That is his utmost joy and delight in this world, is not just to read the Bible, but to meditate upon it. We've already read in Psalm 119 about how he exclaimed how much he loved the law and the Word of God. There are also a multitude of different scriptures in that chapter that describe his love for the Word of God, but one in particular in verse 127 of Psalms 119, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Could we honestly make that same declaration this morning, that we love the Word of God more than material riches, more than all the gold and riches and silver that this world might have to offer? Do we really love and delight in the Word of God more than any type of natural wealth that we could accumulate in this world? I want you to think about this as we continue, much as I have in studying and leading up to this message, and ask yourself honestly the question, how much do I really love and delight in the Word of God? Is it our meditation all the day? Do we love it more than riches? Do we love it more than the benefits and the blessings that we might have in this world? I'd like to present for your consideration that what we really love in this world is what our minds meditate upon. Our minds always regress to the mean. What we really love here in this world is what we are constantly thinking about. And furthermore, what we're constantly thinking about is what we're constantly talking about. Our speech reflects what we really love and what we really delight in. And not only our speech, but our actions. Now, the greatest commandment that we have is to love the Lord with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. And I'll present for your consideration that you cannot separate a fervent, wholehearted, and whole-minded, and for that matter, whole-souled, love for God without a fervent love for His scriptures and for His word. In John chapter 14 and chapter 15 and many other places in the scriptures, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And the word of God are the commandments of God. So if we love Him, if we truly love God and we're following the commandments to love Him with every fiber of our being, with all of our heart, soul, and mind, then we cannot discredit and discount and have no affection for the word of God if we truly love the Lord with all of our heart. You see, the scriptures are Christ's love letter to His bride while we're separated and awaiting His second coming. How would you feel if you were the husband and you wrote love letters continually to your bride while you were separated, but then you come to find out that the bride never even read those love letters, let alone ever thought about the content of those letters, and continually reflected upon the love that the husband had for the bride? If we don't read Christ's love letter toward us, and if we don't have a delight and an affection to constantly devote our minds to thinking about the love that Christ has had toward us, how does that really reflect about our love toward God? Again, what we really love will be what consumes our mind. And our minds will always come back in those idle moments to what we really care about. Part of the reason I was so convicted in studying and then meditating upon this message is I realized as I tried to examine my actions that in the spare moments that I have during my day, those times when I don't have a lot going on, where does my mind go to? When it's not fully engaged at work, when it's not fully engaged in conversation with someone, if it's not fully engaged in something, what does my mind go back to? And as I hopefully assess myself fairly accurately, I realized that my mind went back to worldly things more than it did the scriptures. When I had spare time at work, going to lunch, going about my day, and I had those spare 10 to 15 minutes, what did I do with that time and where was my mind going? The majority of the time I would check my Facebook app. I would get on ESPN or Fox News and see what the current news was for the day. That is where my mind seemed to gravitate back to. And I realized how little, unfortunately, that my mind gravitated back in those spare moments that I have throughout the day, that the first thing that my mind went back to was the scriptures and the word of God. And that's how it should be as we meditate upon the scriptures. That in those spare moments, our minds go back to considering that scripture that we read that morning again. We've already looked at it, but I want to look at it again. Consider it in a different way, revolving in my mind. But I believe it's a very severe condemnation that if our minds, when we have those spare moments, only ever go back to sports or politics or entertainment or some type of recreation or family, work, etc., etc. If our minds in those spare moments only ever go back to those secular things, not that those things in and of themselves are bad, but if those are truly our delight and our love, that is what our minds go back to in those spare moments, God says it's the scriptures and the word of God that should be consuming your mind, that your mind should be continually going back to. So therefore, I believe we have to be very purposeful in bringing our minds continually back to the scriptures to meditate upon them and to consider them again. Because if we just let our minds go into autopilot, our minds are naturally going to gravitate back to those carnal and secular things. We have to be purposeful to bring our minds and our thoughts back to wholesome and godly things, and particularly the scriptures. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And my center column reference in the KJV Bible for think equates that with meditate. In other words, you need to be purposeful to think and meditate upon good and godly things, things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of virtue, but principally things that are praiseworthy. If there be any praise, that's our commission and that is our responsibility here in this world, is to glorify God in all that we say and do. So therefore, our minds need to constantly be ruminating and meditating upon things that are praiseworthy to God. But if we do not make that a regular habit, our minds will naturally gravitate and float away to things of this world instead of engaging ourselves in profitable and praiseworthy things, especially the Word of God. Think about Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, he specifically went out and prayed 3 times a day in public in an unashamed manner for all that could see him, and that's eventually what got Daniel cast in the lion's den. But he made a regular habit of praying unto God, because Daniel understood if he just went about his daily activities, by the end of the day, he'd realize, wow, I haven't prayed unto God. I can't tell you how many days I've done that. When I get up in the morning, I have a desire. Today is going to be the day I pray without ceasing. And then I get busy and get distracted and frustrated. Then the next thing I know, when I'm going to bed, I realize I've barely only prayed a couple of times. Definitely not praying without ceasing. So as Daniel was purposeful in his prayer, we have to be purposeful in our thought processes and purposeful in our meditation. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, Paul said, we have a responsibility to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. If we are not active in controlling our thoughts will naturally gravitate to things that are not true, not honest, not just, not pure, not lovely, and they will certainly not gravitate toward things that are praiseworthy to God. Because if we let our natural carnal minds have their free course in our mental thoughts, that carnal mind is enmity with God and has no desire and no ability to be subject to the law of God. That's why we have to be so vigilant to bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. Again, what do we do with those spare moments? Where do our minds naturally come back to? If we examine those closely and honestly, I bet that we'll realize that what our mind constantly thinks upon is what we truly love here in this world and what we truly delight and joy in. But the psalmist says our delight, our joy, our love, even more than the riches and the gold that we could get here in this world, our love and our delight should be the law of God. And because we love and delight and joy in the scriptures so much, we meditate and we want to think about it all day and night. It should not be a task for us to meditate upon the scriptures, to read the word of God, if we truly love it. And that's the real question. Do we truly love and delight in the scriptures? And again, can we really love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind if we totally disregard the scriptures? I don't believe that we can. I hope that we can fall in love with the word of God, to delight in the scriptures. And when we reach that point that it is our utmost joy and delight, our minds obviously are constantly going to come back to that. And what our love, what our joy, what our delight truly is will also eventually be exhibited in our speech and in our actions as well. That's why David said in Psalm 19 and verse 14, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." First of all, the meditation of my heart needs to be right. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if the words of my mouth are going to be praiseworthy and exhibit love toward God, the only way that that's going to be exhibited is if that truly is the meditation of my heart. So first of all, I've got to get the meditation of my heart right. And then if our constant meditation, delight, and joy is God himself and the scriptures and the word of God that he has given for us, if that is our meditation, then certainly the words of our mouth will be acceptable in the sight of the Lord. And not just our speech, but our actions as well. I believe that's a very important component of why the man in Psalm 1 is not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. He's not standing in the way of sinners. He's not sitting in the seat of the scornful. The reason he has no desire to partake of those ungodly things is because his love and his delight and his actions are being guided by the Word of God, the Scriptures. I certainly hope that's the case for all of us, that as we delight more in the scriptures, it not only should affect our speech, that our words are acceptable in the sight of God, but it should change our walk. It should change the way in which we stand and sit, our actions here in this world. And don't forget the end result of this. The man who is investing himself in the scriptures, he's meditating upon the word of God day and night. It's his utmost joy and delight, and that love for the scriptures is crafting his walk and his actions. to not live in an ungodly way. And notice the end result of this man. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of the water, strong, stable, well-nourished, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Again, we desire to bring forth fruit to the glory of God. What's the end result of a tree that's strong and stable and fruitful in the kingdom? It's the man that is continually filling his mind and meditating upon the scriptures, and that is what is dictating his actions. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I know you want to prosper in this world. We all want to prosper in a certain material sense, but I hope that you desire to prosper spiritually more than anything. And the person who reaches the end result of prosperity in the kingdom is the person who began by filling his mind perpetually with the Word of God. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." We've read in prior messages from Psalm 119 that great peace have they which love thy law. Do you want great peace in your life? Then cultivate a love for the Word of God. Do you want perfect peace in your mind? The person who has perfect peace is the disciple whose mind is continually stayed upon God and also continually stayed upon the scriptures. Not only will you have prosperity, but you will have perfect peace in your mind and in your heart. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verses 15 and 16, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." So Paul tells the minister Timothy, you need to meditate upon these things. You need to ruminate upon them. And I would say a lot of people say the scriptures, the Bible, that's the minister's business. His job is to read and study it and tell me on Sunday what I need to know. Well, there's a certain sense in which that's true, and that's absolutely the responsibility of the minister from Acts chapter 6. Our chief responsibility is to give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We in the ministry absolutely need to take heed to this admonition to give ourselves wholly unto those scriptures. But what I would ask you is, do you desire to have perfect peace in your mind? Do you desire to be a strong, stable, flourishing, and nourished tree in the kingdom of God that's bringing forth fruit, and whatsoever you're doing is prospering? I think that's the desire that we all have. And if you have that desire, what's the first ingredient for that? That's going to mold your speech, that's going to dictate your actions. That first ingredient is for your mind to be continually filled with the scriptures. So therefore, I believe this admonition also applies to every single child of God, and I believe the effect also applies to every single child of God as well. You meditate upon these things, and you give yourself wholly unto those things, day and night, continually thinking upon the Word of God, because you've meditated a delight and a love and a joy for the scriptures. And then Paul says that thy profiting may appear to all. There's going to be profit in your life. Why? Because you're going to be that strong, steadfast, nourished tree that's bringing forth fruit. And whatsoever you're doing is going to prosper. And I believe that you'll find that your prosperity will also prosper other people. Your growth in the scriptures, your meditating, and your love for the Word of God will provoke others to do the same. Not only is it going to benefit you, he tells Timothy, but then in verse 16, "Take heed to thyself unto the doctrine, and continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Timothy and those that heard him weren't in need of eternal salvation, but they did need to remain steadfast of their commitment to the scriptures. This is similar to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 2, "By which also ye are saved," speaking of the gospel from verse 1, "if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." Timothy already knew the scriptures. He was already a godly man and a minister. He wasn't in need of salvation, but there is a salvation not just in believing it once, reading the Bible once, but there is a salvation in keeping these things in memory. And how do we keep them in memory? By revolving them in our mind, by meditating upon the scriptures, for the Word of God to be the utmost and consuming subject of our thoughts and of our meditations. Again, I hope that we can cultivate a true love for the scriptures. It shouldn't be a task for us to read the Bible and meditate upon it. If we truly love God, then we should have a desire to read His scriptures. And if we love God, we should have a desire to meditate upon these rich truths that He has inspired and preserved for us every single opportunity that we get, to revolve them in our mind, to ruminate upon them. And I believe the scriptures we've considered today teach that you will have profiting that'll benefit you and others in your life. You'll have that perfect peace and be fruitful in the kingdom of God, and whatever you do shall prosper. I know I can say with David, David, and I hope you can this morning as well. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I pray God can bless us to have that acceptable testimony before our Lord on a daily basis. May God bless you this morning.